This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Where are they now? On the Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show, Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, and Olin Krutz catching up with former Bears players and staff each week to see where are they now.
With the ninth choice in the NFL Draft 2000, the Chicago Bears select Brian Urlacher, linebacker, New Mexico.
Urlacher with his fifth sack in five games as a starter.
Great sack.
This guy could be the Bears' middle linebacker for the next 12 to 15 years.
Brian Urlacher is one of the most athletic guys you're going to find.
His resume speaks for itself. He was a leader. He was a cornerstone. He was a rock. He was that big brother that you didn't want to let down.
Watch Urlacher here, guys. Kept reaching in and just pulled it out of the arms of James. And it's scooped and scored by Tillman.
Where are they now?
Pass is intercepted by that guy, Brian Urlacher.
Presenting Brian Urlacher for enshrinement into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
One of the things I immediately missed the most was eating lunch in Dean Pope's office. Every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we would kick an eye of his office and eat lunch together. We being Olin Krutz, Roberto Garza, Patrick Manley, myself, and every once in a while, Brad Mayer would sneak in there to get some verbal abuse. We never talk football. We talk trash.
DeLong over the middle. It's picked off by Urlacher. What a catch. What an athlete.
Where are they now?
Rodgers. Nowhere to go with it until now.
The Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show.
He sets the throw, and it is picked up by Urlacher. Running right of the 40. There's nobody around him.
On Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Well, welcome back, everybody, and there you have it. Thank you, Jordan Malley. Outstanding job putting that together. We get a Brian and Peanut forced fumble and scoop in the warm-up to this interview. We get Olin and Patrick and Brian sitting around talking trash. I'm going to hope that that was prior to a Bears-Packers game, but it could have been at any time, and it is always a pleasure and a special treat to get to visit with the Chicago Bears Hall of Fame middle linebacker, and they have a few of them, so we've got to point out this one, number 54. Brian, thank you so much for taking time out for us this afternoon. We hope that you are well and that the holidays were good to you and that everybody is healthy and safe on your end.
Thank you. Everyone's good here. We've had some great holidays, great weather, and everyone's doing well. I'm ready for the kids to go back to school.
All right. So, Brian, where we got to start is obviously we know what this weekend is, and I'm going to turn you guys loose to have some fun here as you did for so many years with the Bears. But I've asked Olin and Patrick about it. Bears-Packers, you know, it's different. You must have as good a feel for it as anybody. What are some of your best memories of the rivalry, and what was Bears-Packers week like for you as it came up twice a year?
Yeah, it's different. You know, you go into the week, and the season's so long, but no matter what you're playing for, the week is just different. Now I'm not sure how the locker room is with the media and stuff, but there's more media around. There's more conversations. There's some emphasis on this game, no matter when it takes place during the season and what you're playing for, especially with the added, you know, what's going on today with the game for the Bears. But I have a lot of good memories, a lot of bad memories too, with the rivalry. You know, in 2010, they beat us to get in the playoffs, and they beat us 3 weeks later in the NFC Championship and go on and win the Super Bowl. So, no, I have a lot of good memories playing them, but I have some bad ones as well, just like most of the guys who played for that long do.
Yeah, some real bad ones. Lag, what's up, man? It's Olin.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on, bro.
Yeah. Just wanted to add, you know, we always check in with the guys and just talk about how's your family's doing, how your kids are doing. I know your son is playing football now. How's that all going? And what are the things you're teaching him about the game?
Yeah, our kids are good, Owen, man. They're not as good as your kids. Your kids are monsters, dude. So our oldest, Pamela, is a sophomore at Kansas University, or University of Kansas, whatever it is. Riley's a sophomore in high school, and Kennedy's a freshman in high school. Kennedy started 7 games on varsity this year as a freshman. Got a pick this year. The jumps they make when they get to teenagers is crazy, Owen. Mm-hmm. To see him from 8th grade, I was like, this dude's never going to play football again. So now starting on varsity as a freshman, I was like, how did that happen? But he busts his butt, man. He gets in the weight room. He works his tail off. Mm-hmm. He eats everything inside, trying to gain weight. But it's fun. I just try and teach him to have fun, Owen. Just, I told him, I don't care if you make plays or not make plays, but you better play hard. All I care about is you get to the football and you have fun. That's all I care about. And he seems to have fun, and he's trying to get better. So it's been a lot of fun to watch him kind of mature a little bit as a player.
What position is he playing, Lat?
He plays corner. He starts at corner. He plays a little bit of receiver. I think next year he'll play more both ways because he'll kind of be settled in, I think, at corner and know what he's doing. But I think he's going to grow into a safety eventually. He's only 5'10", 165 right now. I think he'll be hopefully over 6 feet and over 200 pounds when he's done playing.
Oh, wow. Man, when we hear the ages of all these kids, that just makes me feel older, man. I'm older than you guys, but I am old.
I see your daughter on Instagram, Pat. I can't believe how old she is. It's crazy.
Yeah, and it's cool just to, you get that feeling of being proud. You like maybe the coaches were of you and all that, but it's just fun. It is fun, and thank God we got good kids. But hey, you mentioned having fun, and people always ask, what's it like playing with Brian Urlach or Olin Krutz and all these guys? And I don't give like really specific stories. The one thing I say is I don't know how he did it, but he would hit somebody as hard as he could and get up laughing. Like you always had fun, you and Lance and whoever. Where did that come from? Like when did you start laughing playing football when you crushed dudes?
Well, it wasn't fun when I missed tackles, and it wasn't fun when I dropped picks. You definitely wouldn't see me laughing after all those plays like a lot of you guys do now. You know what? It was so fun. You know, we're all the same way I think about playing football for a living. We were privileged to play it. You know, we enjoyed what we did. But I really had fun out there. You know what I miss is the competition we had in practice. You know, every training camp, man, we would go at it pretty good. You know, during season, one as much, except for 2 minutes. But training camp, I knew I had to bring it every day. I used to hate, it was an inside drill, 9-on-7, what it was. I knew I was going to have to get ready for those 8 plays I got against you to freaking bring it and get ready to go. But I miss the competition of going in practice every day, trying to get better against you and all those jerks you had up there on the O-line. Cheaters, holders, man, yeah.
I got 2 quick stories. I remember, first of all, every team period or 9-on-7 we went to, me and Lack, I'd scream at Lack, he'd scream at me, buckle your chin strap, because it's going to be, we're going all out. That was just a way to let each other know that we're teammates, but we are going to get after this, man.
We're going to go.
But Lack, quick about this game, when you're playing Aaron Rodgers, what's the biggest thing you're looking for as a middle linebacker and a thing you have to be ready for the whole game? And what is the chess match like between, say, Roquan and Trevathan going against Aaron Rodgers and not trying to let him see exactly what you're running? Because we know if he knows what you're running, the game's going to be a long one.
Yeah. I mean, the thing now, Owen, with the way they use the snap count and everything and the play clock, he's going to know what defense you're in because he's going to get that dummy fake out and they're going to get up there, they're going to snap it, and then you're going to show your hand on defense. So he's going to know what you're doing. I think with him, and just like most of his good quarterbacks, you can bend but not break. You know, I think make them make plays down the field. And Aaron will do that, especially now that they have a running game. You know, just make them be consistent down the field. Don't give up the big plays. You know, come up and make tackles. You know, get them in 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, where you with the kind of percentages are in your favor, and then go up and make a play and get off the field. It's just hard, though, man. He's so damn good at, maneuvering the pocket and moving around. And this year especially because they got a couple of guys that can run the football. So it's just tough, man. He's always – that's why I think he's the best in the NFL. Him and Mahomes are 2 best players in the NFL at the quarterback position. But just the things he does pre-snap to know what you're doing. And even if he doesn't know what you're doing, he's still probably going to figure it out before the ball snap.
Brian, you had a lot of games against Favre and Rodgers. Who did you enjoy, or just, maybe they're completely different, but who did you enjoy playing against more? Because you guys would bark at each other all day long.
I know. It's such a hard question, Pat, because, I grew up loving Brett Favre. He was a freaking animal. And I grew up a Cowboys fan, but they always played the Packers, I feel like, every year in the regular season or the playoffs. So I liked watching him play because he was a gunslinger, man. He'd go out there and just, you know, you guys know what he did. He slung it around there, didn't care what happened. So I would say playing against him my first couple of years was pretty awesome just because it was Brett Favre. I was a rookie, yeah. Second-year guy. Playing against him was really cool. And then Aaron came in just a stud right away. You know, his first year he wasn't great. He was still good. And then every year he got better and better so fast. But I love the conversations, like you said, you know, between plays. Not necessarily during plays, but the conversation we would have between plays was always fun with both of them. I think Favre is one of the most competitive guys. Like he would get up in your face, he'd yell at you, he'd get pissed out there. But Aaron's more of a laid-back guy until you make. So I think when things aren't going their way, he gets a little more mad. But that hasn't happened very much this year.
Hey, Lack, I know you must have went against it. I asked Mike Brown this question last week, and hopefully I don't get you crying like we got him, and I'm worried for like the whole day about what the hell is wrong with him. But he's all good for all the listeners. Mike Brown is doing good.
We talked about it.
We talked about it. I reached out to Lack right away. I was like, hey, man, make sure you check on Mike Brown for me. And Lack took care of that for me so I could go do the TV show, and Lack called. Anyway, so don't do that to me, okay? I worry too much. But I
asked him about the question? I'm nervous.
I asked him about the outside zone and what it takes for a defense to stop it and why it's so hard and so popular. Now, it seems like every top offense has gone through it. And now, you know, LaFleur went up to Green Bay and installed that system, the outside zone system, outside zone boot run game. And they've added Aaron Rodgers to that. And to me, when I watch the film, like, that's what makes them so dangerous, man, is that they got this outside zone scheme really going, and then they added Aaron Rodgers to it. So as a defensive guy, how do you play this outside zone scheme, and what do you have to do to slow it down?
It's so hard because the linemen get you going one, you know, you try and get all the guys going one direction, and then once the backside guard or tackle gets that one guy cut off, there's that crease. And their running backs, you know, Aaron Jones gets downhill fast. He puts his foot in the ground and he goes. And the front side, if you don't play it right, they'll take the edge from you. So it's just so hard because you get everyone moving one direction. And if you get one guy who doesn't get in his gap or who gets on the ground, they got a crease. And then you run the boot game off of that, Aaron does the ball, throws the ball so well on the move. So they get everyone going one direction and then Aaron pulls it and they got a big play down the field. So it's frustrating. It's just, you got to keep your linemen off the ground. Number one, I think, and just get downhill. And the faster you can get those double teams to come off of guys, I think the better off you are on defense. But it's hard because it's hard to get penetration when they run that zone blocking scheme.
Hey, all right, take us inside an old Brian Urlacher huddle. Just say your defense is going against this Packer, going against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers scheme running this.
Yep.
Take me from when the call comes into your helmet, the communication that takes place while you're in the huddle to you're on the line of scrimmage, because you were a master at that. You used to blow me away at practice. Ron Turner would go nuts. How does he know the ball's going here? How does he know this is happening? And you could still
Our
hear you.
Our offense wasn't Lance that complex.
Yeah,
bro.
Owen, answer that question for me.
Take me inside like the huddle, like a game like today, or just a big game or like that. How does that work? Because I asked Owen last week, and it was pretty cool to hear how he talked to his O-line and set all the stuff up.
Okay, so here's how it works. So the ball's dead, whatever, that we're getting in the huddle. Get in the huddle. And then the call comes in over Pirate 2, which is 75% of our calls, over Pirate 2. So then I would get in the huddle and go, all right, over Pirate 2, ready, break. And then here we go. Lack, what was the call? Hey, Lack, what was the call? Charles out there, you know, what was the call, Lack? And then Lance goes, Lack, what was the call again? So, yeah, that's how most of the huddles worked. And then, you know, we get to our line of scrimmage, and then we'd have checks, which, you know, we were lucky. Because
soda. I don't want to see that soda again.
So, I don't think they'd do too good against Rodgers. So they would pick that apart. But, you know, and then we get to our line of scrimmage, and Lovie gave us the liberty. We could go from zone to man or man to zone. And usually it always started in zone versus Green Bay. And if Aaron saw cover two, he would check run. So sometimes if I thought if the play clock was down low enough where he couldn't check back to a pass, I would check cover three or cover one. And every once in a while it worked, and every once in a while it didn't. You know, it's a crapshoot. But we communicated really well on defense, man. Our guys always listened. We had colors. We had numbers that we could cut y'all to each other. And luckily, we had really smart corners, so they would always look in if we're checking. So it was nice to be able to change the defense. But, man, it's such a cat-and-mouse game between the defense and the offense because they change so damn much when they see what we're doing.
You know, like coming down from safety, you know, you started at the Sam. Obviously, they moved you to Mike, and watching Roquan Smith this year, when he's missing Akeem Hicks and the guys can get up on him, he struggles a little bit getting off of blocks. And I remember it was kind of a transition for you a little bit. I don't want to speak for you. You can tell me if I'm wrong.
Oh, you're right.
When they took Ted and Keith Trailer out and we went to this one gap and you had to take on blocks. So as a young linebacker, what does Roquan need to work on to get off of these blocks a little quicker when these guys do actually get up to him?
It's hard, Olin. You know, and I haven't watched him play that much this year, but I know he's a good football player. It's tough because the linemen are bigger than we are. And, you know, we all struggle with getting off blocks, especially when they get up on you quick. I don't care what linebacker you are or how good you are. If the lineman gets on you quick, you're going to have problems. I know there's you know, as long as you're in your gap, you're probably going to be okay. But it's just tough. You know, you got to get there, try and get downhill as fast as you can, I think. And like if you make a mistake, make it in your gap. It's just hard to get off blocks, man, when these linemen get on you fast. Missing a guy like Akeem Hicks is a big deal to a middle linebacker. That guy is a stud. He picks up two or three guys a play, and if they don't block him with two guys, he makes the play. So, like you said, when Ted was in there, man, him and Trailer took up the guards, the two guards and the center. So I was free to run around laterally or whatever. Those 2 years that they were in there were amazing, but you do have to learn to use your hands, and I got better as my career went on. But it's hard, you know. Like I said, the linemen are really good at "quote unquote" holding you, so you can't so you can't run around. But you just got to get downhill and do the best you can in your gap. If you make a mistake, try and make it in your gap so you don't screw the whole defense.
Brian, I got one more question for you. And I think I asked you last year, 2 years ago, what was a play that you made that wowed yourself? And you mentioned, I think, the Jets interception. But, you know, we sit back now and we reminisce of great plays we've made or whatever we've done, shoot, or a good long snap I made. But what is one hit that you had?
Don't say that again.
That's why I'm joking. I'm poking fun at myself, man.
Yeah.
Remember that snap fact, against the Bengals?
We don't want to hear your name called ever in a football game.
No,
we didn't.
No.
That's why he was great.
No,
that's right.
But what's one hit you had? What's one hit you had, man? That, like, you know, you wake up and you're like, oh, that felt so good.
Man, you know, I definitely took a bunch of them, but I think my rookie year of playing the Colts at Soldier Field, God, it was like 2 minutes to go in the game. They were in 2 minute drill, and I want to say his name was E.G. Green, was the receiver coming across the field. And Peyton, I was sitting, I was playing Will at the time. I think Warwick and I switched, and Peyton threw it out in front of E.G. And this was back when you could hit, so I actually hit him with my helmet in the chest, and he his feet came out underneath him, and he almost did a flip. And you know what he did? He got up and ran back to the huddle like it was nothing. So it felt like a great hit to me, but this dude was like, "What, rookie? That was nothing." So that was one of the best feeling hits that I've had, but it must not have meant much to him. So maybe my hits are a lot not as good as I think they are. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
He jumped up quick and got right back to the hole, though.
Wow. Brian, we're going to have to let you go, buddy. Really appreciate the time today. But before you go.
Good talking to you guys, man. Take care. Good luck, Bears, today.
All right, Brian. Thank you very much. We do appreciate it. That is Brian Urlacher.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.